In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I thought Father would appreciate this young man came to his old pastor and he said, Father, I want you to make a novena so that I can buy a Lexus. And the old man said, a Lexus, what's that? He said, well, that's a real nice car. He says, it's expensive, but I really want one. So the pastor said, oh, no, he said, I couldn't make a novena for that. If you were out of a job or something, you make a novena, you get a job, but not for something like that. So he scratched his head and he went to the next parish, or the old Monsignor. Thought he'd have a little more car over there. So he went to the old Monsignor and said, Monsignor, I want you to make a novena so that I can buy a Lexus. The old Monsignor said, a Lexus, what's that? He said, well, that's a car. He said, it's a real nice car. They're expensive, but I really want one. So the Monsignor said, no. He said, I couldn't make a novena for something like that. He said, if your mother was sick or something, I'd make a novena for her, but not for something like that. So he went to Loyola High School. So he said, well, he says, I'll go down to the high school. And those Jesuits, they know a lot. So he went down. This young Jesuit came out. And he said, Father, he says, I want you to make a novena so I can buy a Lexus. And the young priest said, oh, that's a nice car, he said, but what's a novena? Sorry, brother. See you all next fall, God willing.
You can see the Father Downey and I are friends. This will be a lecture. Which, by the way, over the years, the normal way that I've been teaching Jesuits, I give them a lecture. It's on Eucharist and prayer. A subject like Eucharist and prayer is an ocean of spiritual wisdom on which we could speak not just for 1 hour or 1 day, but a whole lifetime. As we know, the Holy Eucharist, though it is one sacrament, has three levels. In other words, the Eucharist is, at once, a sacrifice sacrament, a communion sacrament, and a presence sacrament. Why, the distinction is as old as the Catholic Church. Our present Holy Father has been clearest and most uncompromising in insisting that the one sacrament of the Eucharist is really one sacrament from three very different perspectives. As the sacrifice sacrament of the Eucharist, it is the sacrifice of the Mass. Here is the same Jesus who died on Calvary, who now offers himself to his Heavenly Father on our altars. On Calvary, as we know, Jesus merited the graces we needed. Through the Mass, Christ principally communicates the graces he won for us on Calvary through the Mass. To say that and to realize it would fill our churches every morning. And just for the record, would have priests offering Mass every morning. Once you realize that the principal source of Eucharistic grace we have is the sacrifice of the Mass. Secondly, the Eucharist, here's the communion sacrament, where we receive Christ himself, and though we receive him into our bodies, he nourishes us in our souls. And thirdly, the Eucharist as present sacrament. It is Jesus with us in the tabernacle of our churches for two reasons. So we might adore him and obtain from him what he will give us only, remember the adverb, only through the Eucharist. Our focus in this lecture will be on number 3, on the Eucharist as present sacrament. Unless Christ is really present in the Eucharist, as we said before, there is no real Mass. Unless Christ is really present in the Blessed Sacrament, there is no real communion. The communion services of the thousands of Protestant churches in our own country, they do not receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. There's no real presence. And if ever you want to convince somebody who is not a Catholic to become a Catholic, ask him, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the living God who became man of a Virgin Mother? They believe it, they tell you, yes, I believe it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ worked miracles during his visible stay in Palestine? Of course, I believe it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, if he were on earth today, would work miracles? Oh, of course, of course. Well, being a Catholic, you'll believe that Jesus Christ is on earth. And therefore, he's working miracles. And most people could think that these 3 or 4 miracles they could use. Our focus then will be on the real presence. And I'll take this in sequence. And although we've done some of this before, especially when we talked about the Eucharist, but I want to be very specific because that's why I'm going to Rome. And I'll have to miss the canonization of my fellow Jesuit. I have a lecture to give in Chicago the morning of May 31st. While the same time Blessed Clara is being canonized, I argued, I pleaded, I did not want to cancel the lecture. It's too important. So I'm believing on the 31st for Rome. And my hope is, when I come back from Rome, to share with you what I briefly described, remember, earlier this afternoon. The Holy Father wants, and I can use the adverb desperately wants, those who believe in the real presence, and I am confident I'm talking to the right audience, those who believe in the real presence, to propagate, promote devotion to the Holy Eucharist through Eucharistic adoration in the United States. The Pope did not tell me this personally, but I'm absolutely sure this is on his mind, that he believes unless faith in the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist is restored and returns in our country, the days of America are numbered. We cannot make it. First then, what is the real presence? As we've seen, I wanted to make this my closing presentation at our very pleasant, even painful to you to listen, but very pleasant to me. I enjoy sharing my faith. You've heard this before. Now, the clearest and most authoritative statement on the real presence is the definition of the Council of Trent in the 16th century. This is an article of the Catholic faith, defined and infallible. I quote, "The body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist," unquote. Let me repeat. "The body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist," unquote. Anyone who questions that or denies it is not a Catholic. And this is becoming the test of authentic Catholicism in our day. Having said this, a better question than asking what is the real presence, we do ask, who is the real presence? The real presence is the incarnate Son of God, who was conceived of the Virgin Mary. The Eucharist began in Mary's womb. And had he become man, God will remain man for all eternity. He is the incarnate Son of God who Mary held in her arms on Christmas morning, who during his passion was scourged, crowned with thorns, nailed to the cross, and died on Calvary. Same Jesus Christ who rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is now seated at the right hand of his heavenly Father. As far as Christ is concerned, there is no difference, none, between the Christ in heaven now, in the fullness of his divinity and humanity, and Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. All the limitation is in us. Any estimate of the Eucharist and prayer, notice I'm combining the two, any estimate of these two, the Eucharist and prayer, must begin with a clear understanding of whom we are praying to when we pray to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. The first verse of the Tantum Ergo, remember during benediction, remember, well, the Holy Father wants his benediction restored in the United States. Can I tell the Holy Father that he has backers here in Ann Arbor. Agreed? Here's the prayer in the Tanto Mergo in English. Down in adoration falling, Lord, the sacred host we hail. Lord, ancient forms departing, newer rites of grace prevail. Faith for all defects supplying, where the feeble senses fail. That's the key. Faith for all defects supplying, where the feeble senses fail. Fides prestat supplementum, sensuum defectui. This profession of faith and the real presence, expressed by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century, when the first heresies against the real presence began to rear their head. Some before, but they really got strong by the 13th century. This profession of faith came as the answer of the Catholic Church to the rising confusion in so many learned circles, questioning or denying the real presence. I couldn't be either clearer or more sincere. He says, the article of faith that we Catholics must believe, and as far as we can, understand, and with God's grace, promote in the minds and hearts of others. This is the crisis in the Catholic Church. Close all the books. This is it. What do we believe in? As the Tantum Ergo says, in adoration falling, the sacred host be hailed. We believe what our feeble senses fail to perceive. Our senses see what looks like bread, feels like bread, tastes like bread, and broken sounds like the breaking of bread. What does our faith supply for this failure of our senses? Our faith tells us that what had been bread, that is its substance, has been changed into the whole Christ, totus Christus. I've been a priest 44 years. I think I did tell you, for the longest second in my life. Remember my first Mass in Cleveland? After I consecrated the host, Latin liturgy, pronounced the words, hoc est enim, corpus meum. And I thought to myself, Harden, this can't be. This can't be. Well, my faith held up. So, I'm not exaggerating. I either almost cracked my knee or cracked the marble. Professing my faith. All the meaning of Eucharistic prayer is locked up in this mystery of our faith. Any words I've used, no matter how long I talked, I could not exaggerate the importance of knowing what we believe, when we believe, that Jesus Christ is now on earth in the Holy Eucharist. So then our next section of reflection. Our next section of reflection. Prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. not many years ago, he could talk about prayer before the Eucharist and seemed to be saying what every professed Catholic firmly believed in. But much has happened. Much has happened in the past even quarter century. In one maturity overdeveloped country after another, the mystery of the real presence is being explained in a way that contradicts the Church's unchangeable Eucharistic faith. In the last year of the meeting of the Second Vatican Council, not sure I share this with you, Pope Paul VI came out with an encyclical on the real presence. And he said, either faith in the real presence remains strong, or the Second Vatican Council will have been worse than wasted effort. And he spelled out, the Pope spelled out, the Eucharistic heresies at 65. This is 92. All kinds of polysyllabic names. Remember transignification, transfinalization, instead of anything except transubstantiation. He said there are people now saying that Christ is everywhere. So, why all the preoccupation with the Eucharist? The Eucharist, said Paul VI, is called real because it is presence in the fullest sense. To make a graphic comparison, there is as much difference between Christ's presence in the Blessed Sacrament and his presence elsewhere now on earth as there was between his presence among his apostles when he appeared to them on Easter Sunday night and his presence before he came to them and after he left. Once it becomes clear that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, then prayer before the Eucharist is prayer to Jesus Christ. He is present where the prayer is present. By the way, don't forget, there are two spellings to the same word, prayer and prayer. Christ is present where the prayer is present. And the one who prays is present where Jesus Christ is present. However, we have to make an effort, consciously, deliberately, to be in his presence in the Holy Eucharist. I would strongly, not merely recommend, but urge you, and please God, next fall, if we meet together, I do plan to be here, that we will organize, what shall I call it? A crusade for promoting Eucharistic adoration. And, of course, he would concentrate on the two blessed dioceses of Detroit and Lansing. But we need believers, strong believers. Remember what he said? Only strong believers are used by God to reproduce strong believers. Once then becomes clear that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, then what dare we not expect from what we casually call prayer before the Eucharist? During his visible stay on earth, those who believed in Christ wanted him to be near them physically, and wanted them to be physically, wanted him to be near to them, and they near both ways. He to them, and them to him. Is that right? Them to him and him to them. Christ encouraged his manifestation of faith. There's more here than meets the eye or the ear. Sure. Two spiritual beings can be close to one another without being physically near to one another. One of my favorite definitions of spirit: spirit is that which is independent of space and time. But are we spiritual beings? Are we? We better be. Can we be spiritually near to somebody who is 1,000 miles away? Can we be spiritually 1,000 miles away from somebody who is right next to us? What I call the intimacy of a crowded New York subway. However, God became man to be with us and near us, not only spiritually, but physically, bodily, corporeally. Is that my water? I cannot tell you how basic this is for the rest of our spiritual life. God was everywhere before the incarnation. He had to be. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a Nazareth. There wouldn't be a Palestine. There wouldn't be a Blessed Virgin Mary. Wherever any creature exists, God must be there by the same almighty power that he exercised to bring that, well, the non-existing creature into existence. What did God do? Dare we say he invented a means of not only being everywhere as our God, but being near to us in the fullness of his divinity as a man, so that his body would be near our body. Am I making sense? I still remember a couple happened to be in the city, and he was leaving overseas. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was a wife. And, he was leaving. And he said, I'll be seeing you. I looked at the wife. She almost collapsed. You want to be near those that we love.